Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and we're very happy to have you with us. It's the 29th of December. It's a Tuesday for those of you keeping score at home, and it's very nice to have you with us as part of our Roundtable panel. My thanks to Ray Graff, who started off the show. I appreciate
it. Yeah, I stretched as long as we could to get you here, and you made it.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice drive. You look relaxed.
It's very nice. Yeah. It was lovely. We left around, you know, that's the thing about that commute, is if you can make it last 2.5 hours, it's really lovely.
Well, it's quality time with the wife. There's no denying that.
No, it is quality time. And you know, if you can stretch it out, because we thought, well, the weather's bad. We'll leave early. We'll leave at 6:30.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll take an hour and a half. Maybe it'll take, you know.
And what did it take, Joe?
About 2.5 hours.
Man, it's
That's really fun.
So, are we doing a show?
Let's do a show.
All right.
You ready?
No.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Chartok is
here.
Good morning, Alan. How was your commute?
Terrible, just terrible. Started out in Great Barrington. The ice, it was supposed to be snowing, but it was icing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it icing on the roads, getting from
and
Great
Barrington. And you're in your windshield, right?
Well, no, not really. But from Great Barrington, because it was in the garage, took it out.
Well, yeah, but when you
don't you have
out,
a garage?
Well, yeah. But when you take it out, you have the ice coming down on the car, and the ice accumulates on the windshield.
Negative. I don't have a garage.
Negative. You don't have a garage.
Well, it doesn't fit the vehicles.
Okay, so anyway.
It's an old garage. So what did you leave, about 12:30?
No, I left the house at 3.
Ah.
And I got here at 4:30.
Oh, that's great. Right. Good for you. Congrats.
Well, see, that's the difference between...
Going when people are on
right,
the road.
With traffic and without traffic. Right, yeah.
And I have to say, there was one of the worst traffic accidents I have ever seen. I know there was a fatality.
And oh, I saw I-90
on the freebie.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
We saw that this morning on the
news. And the front of the truck was crashed in, and there was
Was it a double tractor trailer?
I don't know
a
that.
Tandem tractor trailer?
I was praying to whoever you pray to that I could not slip off the road in any case. So I only took a very cursory look at it.
So that was an early overnight accident.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was very early.
There must have been 10 fire trucks out there.
Ray Graff, how was your commute?
Great.
Yeah.
Listen, I had a good time.
Driving that Cadillac, are you?
No, it's gone.
It's gone.
Went to the,
it's been gone for a long time, hasn't it?
Hunting ground for Cadillacs. No, I scraped the ice off the minivan for a couple of hours and made it to work. It's good.
Excellent.
Good, right?
All is good.
Right.
And from Schenectady, Mike Spain, Associate Editor of the Times Union.
I'm here to report that the roads were slow, but I got here unscathed.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, here we are. Let's do a show. It's very nice to have you with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org, WAMC.org/roundtable, and we will get to the topics at hand, but a reminder, you can join in on the conversation and find out what else is, share your thoughts with us. Let's go to this story, which is no charges for Cleveland police officers in the shooting death of 12-year-old Tamir Rice. This came out late yesterday. A local grand jury declined Monday to bring criminal charges against a rookie Cleveland police officer who in November 2014 shot and killed a 12-year-old boy who was playing with a toy gun, closing a year-long investigation into one of several police shootings that sparked nationwide protests. The prosecutor said that the newly enhanced surveillance video made it undisputably clear that the boy was reaching into his waistband for the toy, which was indistinguishable from a real gun, just before the officer, Timothy Lohman, opened fire. This, of course, comes on the heels of the case of the hung jury in
Baltimore, yeah.
Mm-hmm. As well as no charges being filed in the Sandra Bland case in Texas.
Well, I've said it before, I say it again. Grand juries and juries don't like to find police officers guilty, and they give them the benefit of the doubt. However, as is pointed out on this show yesterday, there is a culture, and I think this is the important point. There's a culture, the thin blue line, whatever you want to call it, among some police agencies, that you don't go that extra mile because you have family at home, you have, you know, people who have to be protected yourself. So when you see an officer fire 16 shots, you know, at somebody, a little overkill, don't you think?
Well, that, you're talking about the Chicago shooting.
Yeah, sure.
In this particular case, I think two things were true. The evidence certainly demonstrates that, that a 12-year-old boy playing with a toy gun was shot and killed by a police officer. And the other thing that's true is police responded to a report that somebody had a gun. They arrived. They found this young man who, although he was 12 years old, weighed 175 pounds.
It was a big kid.
It was quite a big kid. And they were informed that there was somebody who may have been using a gun. And although there was a report from one of the eyewitnesses who made the called police that perhaps it's a toy, that did not reach these officers. They arrive on the scene. They're expecting a guy with a gun, and they see a guy reach in and pull out a gun. That's what they said, and responded with deadly force, and the tragedy happened. I mean, two things were going on. Both were there's credible evidence that both were accurately portrayed. It's just a really sad, awful thing. And the officers still may face disciplinary action within the police department for their performance. Perhaps there'll be some retraining, but it doesn't ever go to even touch the pain that the family's feeling and the community's feeling when a 12-year-old boy is killed. This one is a difficult one.
I have to say, I agree with you, Mike, as far as the difficulty in the case. That during the press conference yesterday, they were going to great pains of showing the toy gun versus a real gun. And, man, it's really hard to tell. And especially if it's dark, or you can't fully see it. It's virtually indistinguishable. I'm not giving that a pass. I'm just saying it's not obvious.
I don't think they should get a pass.
To me, the biggest problem here, and the thing that has to be looked at, is the why that information that it was possibly a toy gun did not get to the officers.
Right, that's a breakdown. There was a lot of breakdowns.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was a rookie officer who was acting on impulse, perhaps a more seasoned officer would have taken a moment and then seen, one can only guess. It is a terrible, terrible human tragedy. It's not like a couple of the other cases, like Sandra Bland in Texas, where an officer is on camera pretty much humiliating her and dragging her out of a car and tasing her, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. It's not like the Chicago situation where there's videotape from a police officer, various videotapes that portray, just the wanton shooting of this poor guy. He did carry a knife, but he was had long ceased to be a threat to officers when they kept firing, or this particular officer kept firing. So, every situation is different, and yet you want to get some justice for the family in Cleveland, and it's just pain. It's just a lot of pain.
I'm also struck by the fact that so many times being told to raise your hands and not doing that. And we heard this in the case in Chicago, the most recent case where the mother was killed. And I was listening to family members say, well, there was great concern about the son. And they were saying, if you're a young black man and a cop tells you to do something, for God's sakes, do it. And I think while we have to examine that as a society of why that is necessary, God knows we need to examine that.
Well, if a cop tells anybody, raise your hand, you should do it.
Well, right.
For your safety and his and everybody's.
Right. And absolutely. However, in this case, as reported, the young officer told the child at least three times, I believe. Mm-hmm. To raise his hands, and he instead went into, according to the video and the reports, went into his shirt, and that's when the tragedy happened.
Awful.
It is awful. I mean, it's
12-year-old kid.
Yeah, 12-year-old kid.
And who knows what was in his mind? That he could take out his, false gun, and somehow that was going to change something that was going on there.
You can speculate all you want that he was maybe trying to show that it was a toy, but still, I don't know how you could prosecute the cops in this case.
And also, I am also, you could probably sway me either way, but I am of the belief that if you are a young police officer and you have killed a 12-year-old, that perhaps you have suffered enough in that point.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, that's
what
just,
do you mean?
That's just me.
Well, in other words, you killed another human being, and it's on your conscience.
Yeah,
and
I mean, you know, you don't need charges on top of that. As I said, you could sway me probably in another direction too, if you're at it. But right now, my gut reaction is, okay, he's suffered. He killed a kid.
It's such a tragedy.
It's a horrible tragedy. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll get some letters, and then we'll go to our news break at the bottom of the hour. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Tuesday morning. You know, I always get annoyed when I'm watching or listening to the radio or watching television, and the pompous anchor tells you to be careful when you're out driving.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, okay, we know. We're good. We're good.
Double duh.
But seriously, if you haven't gone out yet... Be careful.
That's very take pompous
some extra,
of you.
Take some extra time. Take some extra time. Get out an envelope, a stamp, a check, and send it over to WAMC.
It's the end of the year.
At the end of the year now.
That's right. You can still get in under the wire. So if you mail it today,
how
does that work?
I think if it's postmarked by the end of the year, you get to claim it.
Now, to be clear, you're not a tax advisor.
I'm not. Okay. That is
you just place one on the radio.
Tax advisor. Exactly. For.
Yes, but so if the check is made out and has dated that date and the postmark, then you can claim it, assuming.
But
right?
You got to save the envelope.
Sure. Oh,
no, you can't because they have the envelope.
But you don't know any of those things, so you're not sure about that.
Well, here's an easy way to do it. Just do it online.
I see that. WAMC.org.
Just do it online.
And you don't have to leave your house.
And for those people who don't believe, we need the money. We need the money.
That's right. That's right. I mean, because we have to pay some money to do out because...
and my raise is coming due.
You know,
come on.
If we wait for the city, for God's sakes, we gotta
shovel
out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
We have a wonderful group next door that does a lot of that work for us.
Oh, they're great.
Pie in the Sky.
They're fantastic. And not only are they great, but they do it from our parking lot down to the place, and you actually don't feel like you're going to fall in your butt.
Yeah. Well, our guy was out this morning, Woodrow Scully, shoveling.
Woodrow Woodrow Scully,
this morning. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We have we want to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's get into some other subjects. You know, here's a story that I read that I thought was interesting. I have some. For Christmas. We asked what the kids wanted, and they need laptops. But we're very specific that they needed these Google laptops. And then I read this story in the Washington Post last night that in public classrooms across the country, the corporate name that is fast becoming as common as pencils and erasers is Google. More than half of K-12 laptops or tablets purchased by U.S. schools in the third quarter were Chromebooks. These are cheap laptops that run Google software. Beyond its famed web search, the company freely offers word processing and other software to schools. In total, Google programs are used by more than 50 million students. Now, here comes the news peg, right?
Right.
But Google is also tracking what those students are doing on its services.
Of course.
And using some of that information to sell targeted ads, according to a complaint filed with federal officials by a leading privacy advocacy group. And because of the arrangements between Google and many public schools, parents often can't keep the company from collecting their children's data, according to those privacy experts.
Interesting. Now, of course, this is almost universal in terms of when we go to – when we adults go to sites. For example, Mike, maybe you could comment on this. My New York Times always has the same ad that they stick in. They've decided
– If you've recently searched Google for something or Amazon.com for something, when you're reading the New York Times the next day, that an ad for that product will come before you. That's not just the New York Times.
Well, what I don't get is it's for women's undergarments.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why there's a Victoria's Secret ad on your laptop.
I don't quite get that.
It just demonstrates that somebody using your computer once did look at a Victoria's Secret.
Is there something called – no, actually.
Blast those interns.
Is there something called Celine or something like that? I don't know. It's but it's
Celine
always,
Dion?
No, it's a...
I'll take annoying Canadian singers for 10, Alex.
The point is that between, you know, between the cookies that get loaded on your computer record where you've been on the cookies. Internet and all kinds of other information that's gathered, you know, it's not secret. You know, that information is gold to marketers, and the companies like Google want to collect it so that they can use it to target the audience more specifically for the products that audience would look for.
But what Joe brings up to us in the vaunted roundtable this morning, almost roundtable here.
Vaunted. Haunted, maybe.
Daunted, certainly.
Isn't there a word, vaunted?
Vaunted.
Pray continue, okay. Stout Yeoman.
All right. Okay, but is that this was being done? This was being done to children. Children
exactly.
is different than
it surely
adults.
Is different,
and certainly with a level of institutional green light.
Right. Oh yeah.
Now, what I find interesting about this case too is that many of these Chromebooks came into popularity because of a case out of Pennsylvania several years ago where schools were providing laptops that had cameras in them. My laptop has a little camera, and many of the laptops have cameras in them. And what they were doing is the school had developed software that could watch the kids.
Really?
Could
yes,
see
I remember
the kids.
That. Yes.
Now, just a quick aside, if you don't mind this quick aside. But the guy who was responsible and got, you know, disciplined for that, I graduated high school.
Really?
With. Yeah. And we always
thought. What are the chances?
We always thought he was a little pervy then.
Ah.
But then, so whatever. Anyway, so now they don't have that. Many of them don't have the cameras, at least the ones that are being offered by the schools. Mm-hmm. But the software, because even if, so like in our instance, it was, okay, parents, we need you to get this laptop for your kids, and all of this software will be available to you through Google, and then we can monitor what you're doing.
And it's important to recognize, these are cheap laptops that work really well.
Like $150.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and they're fast, and all the software is through Google. And it's free to the user.
Everything.
In exchange,
Can normal human beings, not kids.
Yes, you can buy a Google.
Oh, sure.
Chromebook.
You can go to anywhere and get a Chromebook.
Right. Wow. And Google can track the way you use it and what you use it for, and that data is valuable in the
marketable,
way that they market.
Yeah.
But it feels like the old adage that kids watching cartoons on Saturday morning, that was a thing of the past, I believe. It's not as popular now. They were like mice, and the marketers would always refer to them as mice that they feed, and they would go after the kids and with products and cereals and toys and candy, et cetera, and advertise there. And, I mean, this is kind of the 2015 version of that. They're looking for trends that they can use to sell
So how do we deal with it? In other words, we know that the kids may be being exploited by getting these cheap books, you know. Are there laws to be passed? Are there rules to be made?
Well, I guess that is the question. And the privacy advocates who are making this a case and have filed the complaints, I certainly understand the concern. I don't understand what legal leg you could stand on, however, that doesn't affect all of us when it comes to what we look at on the internet.
Well, simple. You just say, okay, this is a privacy concern with children who are under 18. All cookies must be shut off. Then we'll see if Google wants to offer the deals to the schools.
Some people might argue, so what? I mean, my kid's using it to play games on the web, or is using it to write their homework, or they're using it to look up geography assignments and get history information off of Wikipedia. That's useful information for Google because they can sort of track how things are, and they can tune their products to service that need, I guess, and also provide some revenue along the side.
And now appearing.
Is it all that bad? I don't know.
And now appearing for the advertisers?
Yes.
Well, right.
Like Spain.
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, that's what they will argue. I agree with Ray. I personally feel like what my kids are doing, and especially underage kids are doing on the internet, should be sacred and it shouldn't be trackable.
Right. If they're looking at porn, for God's sakes,
they want to be protected. Right.
Yeah. I was once having a conversation with a cable guy. Let's just leave it at that.
Cable guy?
A cable guy.
His name Larry?
A cable guy. And what he said to me,
Jim Carrey. Get her done.
He said it was clear that the people who are in the cable business have the capacity for looking at everything you're looking at. Right? It's pretty much the same thing we've been talking about.
Yeah, sure. Well, okay.
Right. So, there is no privacy in any of it anymore.
Go off the grid, man. Play with sticks and stones. You'll be all set.
What did that mean, Joe?
I guess I'm thinking about it, but yeah. You know, if it's one guy that's sort of just like creeping out because he's, you know, knows that you rented a certain movie and can go, you know, like the old Robert Bork thing of he rented these movies, yeah, and that can come back and haunt you in some way. But that it seems different than a company that is collecting this data so that they can sell you something else, right?
That's right. It's a different level, but there's you feel exploited.
Yeah, absolutely.
By using the products, yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and don't do anything your mother wouldn't want you to do. Is my
well, credo. But you know, if you, it's interesting.
But again, we're talking about kids that are,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
doing school.
No, this is my kids.
One,
yeah,
two, three grades 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, yeah, through.
You think they should be not the subject
immune
of,
to some
right,
of the
they
stuff.
Should be, right, they yeah should be protected.
Right,
they
give them a pass before life slaps them upside the head.
Right.
Wow, you must have had a rotten ride. Well, this is as negative as I've ever heard you.
Let me read
usually
you,
you're like Beaver Cleaver, for God's sake.
Let me read you one fast one. We have Chromebooks in our school. When asked directly, the educational consultants hired by our district told us that while Google tracks, quote, regular used in Google Classroom, which is what we use, the students are not tracked. That's from Sharon.
Huh. Well, let's hope that's the case.
Well, that's good.
That would seem to be a nuance that's different than what the Washington Post story suggests or what this organization, the Electronic Frontier, which
great
filed...
Great name, by the way.
Yes, right.
Electronic Frontier.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation filed the complaint with the Federal Trade Commission thinking that perhaps all this data is too much. Now, when we wanted to track school data, you know, that was a big part of the No Child Left Behind, and later it was associated with Common Core, where Bill Gates and other people thought it would be great to track all the student data and really come up with smart ways to use the data to tune the educational programs so that they are more successful. People really objected to that, and states opted out of it, et cetera. I mean, there is this mix between collecting data in sort of a blind way and using the data to do something smart, or people targeting you and kind of exploiting you because they know what products you buy.
I mean, I don't mind the targeted ads.
I really like your analogy, though, on Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, I mean, it's the current version.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from First Light, providing high-speed data, internet, co-location, and voice services to businesses over its own fiber optic network and supported by locally based personnel. FirstLight.net. The Lily and the Rose, a farm-to-table catering company specializing in locally and regionally sourced organic and biodynamically farmed food and spirits. LilyandTheRose.com. The Meadows at Glenwick, Glenville, New York, offering independent senior living and the Senior Engaged Life Program. Live well, age well, meadowsatglenwick.com. And Utica College, working to help solve the college affordability issue with its tuition reset initiative, utica.edu/affordable.
Good morning and welcome back to our program and our roundtable discussion this morning. Alan Shartok is here. Ray Graff is here. Mike Spain is here. I'm here. You're here. It's all good.
We think that they're there. So we were not even sure.
Well, people are writing, so okay. We assume somebody is there. In fact, let us get to some letters, and then we'll go to a new topic.
Okay. And Joshua says, this is no internet ads following you is known in the marketing biz as remarketing. A company, parentheses Victoria's Secret, pays Google so you can visit victoriassecret.com. The first time, the ad will then follow you around the internet as you view other pages with Google ads to constantly remind you about underwear.
Yeah. I mean, would you like victoriassecret.com, Alan?
I don't think it's correct.
No?
No, because... You know, I know a place that I visit often, and we walk by the Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
A lot of little kids there, you see.
Yeah.
What's all of that about?
Well, it's at the end of the day, it's just underpants, right? Functional.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah, it's all right.
No, you make a point there.
Don't worry about it.
You do make,
But it also works with things like cameras or, books
stereos,
that you might have looked at or electronics, and all of a sudden you're bombarded with ads for that product and the product's competitor. So it is... A little creepy.
Unless you are like searching for something, like a piece of stereo gear that say that I was looking for.
All of a sudden, you start seeing ads for it and parallel pieces.
And it's pretty intuitive. I mean,
it is. It is. But it makes you, gives you the feeling, leaves you with the feeling that Big Brother is
privacy,
watching.
Privacy, schmivacy. Yeah. Come on.
The one thing that annoys me about it though is like if you actually buy the product, they don't stop.
No, it keeps coming. I bought the camera one time, and I've. Got ads for 6 months.
Right. I still need to get the camera.
I bought a banjo at a place.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have banjo websites?
They do. a place. And now I'm on it all the time. I mean, it arrives in my email box virtually every day.
Wow.
You give your address, and that's it. And I already have more banjos than I can handle. I got five long-neck banjos.
Mm. One for almost every day of the week.
And I got one hung up right here in my office.
I'll tell you what, man. Fun Drive's coming. Can't wait. Tune it up. Start tuning now. You'll be ready. All right? You got a month to go.
Something to look forward to.
One string a week.
Janice thanks us for the great music during the breaks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Was that Coltrane today?
She said something nasty, so I'm not reading that part of it.
No. You know what that's all about?
What? What's that all about?
And for a so far day free of you-know-who, and you-know-who that is, that is often discussed on this program.
Rhymes with rump.
Oh, pump.
Yes.
Oh, good. As long as it's not one of us.
Yeah,
okay, that's good.
One of
okay.
Us.
Gump. Okay.
Gump.
And
by the way, yesterday too, he managed. I just want to point that out.
What?
It was a Gump 3-day
yesterday. You did not mention.
No.
That, by the way, is one of my favorite films of all time.
Gump.
Forrest. And when I'm sitting around a table of intellectuals, and they go around and they say, "Did you like Truffaut? What's the best film ever made? Or Truffaut or this or that?"
Yes.
And then I always say, and they say, "What's yours, Alan?"
Seventh Seal, right?
No, and yes. And then I say,
Tom Hanks playing chess with death.
or my dinner with Andre, the worst movie ever made. And then the most boring. But then I always say Forrest Gump. And they start clearing their throats and looking at the ceiling and Robert.
And one says, "Don't mind him; he's a banjo player."
Robert Zemeckis, great filmmaker, right up there with Kurosawa, right?
Oh God,
we're really all over.
Do you want Kevin? You know what Kevin said? Okay,
what did Kevin say?
Is it possible some of our law enforcement officers are using steroids to enhance their physical ability to protect and serve, only to have their mental ability to do so seriously compromised?
That's a reasonable question. If an officer is abusing steroids and it affects his judgment, that's a terrible thing. But I don't know what evidence there is of that. It's speculation.
Well, no, that was clearly speculation.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, we find officers who and doctors who are using opioids and other things like it. That can't be good, right?
I mean, there's absolutely no evidence connecting any of that to this case. So
no, that's correct.
It's probably
well said. Matt says, "I'm not sure I buy the pretense that reaching into one's pocket and pulling something out that may be a weapon, even if it were a real live full power gun, is sufficient cause for that kind of shooting from a cop where the subject is a kid." But here's my problem with this, and I know that we'll get mail on it.
Mm.
Kids can kill you, too.
The old Art Linkletter show.
Yes, right.
They could kill you. I mean, a 12-year-old with a gun
could
kill you.
Those kids say the darnest things when they're shooting.
when they're killing you.
No, you make a point, though. And when you're a policeman going into the situation, you don't know. He's a big 12-year-old, and you don't know how old he is. It's not like, you know, hindsight, they say hindsight. Remember this phrase, hindsight is 20/20?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so you know all these facts now.
It's new, yeah, go ahead.
When it's unfolding, you don't know these things.
And it's all about your prep. I mean, we talked about this. If someone said, when you go outside that door, there might be this big guy with a gun ready to shoot you, you better be prepared. You know, I mean, more or less, that's what they were saying, somebody was shooting. You're going to be looking for that, and you're going to be kind of predisposed to that.
I mean, the prosecutors, everybody says this was a tragedy of miscommunication, of errors in judgment, of a lot of things. And bottom line is, a 12-year-old is dead, and it's tragic, and it's horrible.
It is horrible.
I agree with you.
Narcissa. Says, I don't see much nuance in this case. The officer was not being personally threatened. It heard there was someone with a gun and reacted within seconds without consideration. Children do not react within seconds, as every parent knows. This is done without any attempt to assess the situation, which is why this officer was kicked out of a previous police department. Letting him off basically said that the police are permitted to kill our civilians anytime they please and under no obligation not to try to.
Maybe he shouldn't be a police officer.
Yeah. Well, again, we come back to who becomes police officers. Look, they're wonderful people. I taught them at the John Jay College. I know them, many of them. But there are some people who were brought up and as bullies in towns, and then they become bullies as police officers. Happens.
Sure does.
We have about 3 minutes, and let me just bring up the story really quickly. As soon as next year, that would be in 3 days.
Right.
A driver's license may no longer be enough for airline passengers to clear security in some states if the Department of Homeland Security has its way. This has been going on for a long time. Federal officials said that they would soon determine whether Transportation Security Administration agents would start enforcing a 10-year-old law that required states to comply with a set of federal standards when issuing driver's licenses, sort of what is known as smart licenses. Okay. The issue is quickly intensifying and the debate over identification and privacy has grown after the recent terrorist attacks in Paris and California. So they want you with either your passport or a license that is very similar in its gravitas to a passport.
Well, this is for domestic flights?
Yeah, I don't know about Massachusetts, but New York State has gotten an extension into...
Oh, they did? Yeah, many states got an extension.
I think in October of 2016.
Right.
Right, to do something, and maybe there'll be another extension after that, or maybe at that point you won't be allowed to fly with just a New York State license, in which case you would need a passport, which is a lot more expensive and a lot more difficult to obtain.
To fly domestically.
One. Yeah.
Yes.
That is...
But also...
Where's Rosemary?
Am I right on this, Mike? And if not a passport, you would need a special license from New York State. You wouldn't necessarily need an enhanced, I believe is what it's called.
Right. New York has an enhanced driver's license, which can get you in and out of Canada. Like a standard driver's license won't. You'll need a passport or an enhanced license.
Yeah, I once missed a plane to Canada. I was giving a talk. And I was at the thing, and I didn't know you needed a passport or something. Yeah,
it's been that way a while now. Yeah. I mean,
nobody told me.
Right. I mean, it's good when your hosts
that banjo company and their email just sent you.
When your hosts are inviting you to Canada, they should probably send along an advisory of that.
Well, they didn't.
And look what happened.
We got it to you.
Yeah, but it took a lot of mobilization.
We did.
And I missed the flight, I believe, and
no,
I got on the...
No, you got the flight. We got you there.
It was right around a fun drive,
I remember
right?
this. Yeah.
I remember this whole drama.
There was a whole thing. We met you halfway. It was a whole thing.
Good times.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, thank God I don't have a memory because I can't dispute it.
Okay.
It was all good. It was close.
Yeah.
It was very close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, we're out of time. Alan, thank you very much.
Okay, there were 130 other letters we didn't get to.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well,
can't read every letter.
No, you can't.
Ray, thank you very much. It's wonderful having you here.
Yeah.
Mike, is it unfair to ask you on the air if you can come and join us tomorrow?
No pressure.
Yes, I believe I can.
Okay, we would love to have you. Thank you very much.
Rex says as long as he gets to the morning editorial meeting.
Yes.
Right. Well, gotta get me out by 10, so I'll get up there by 10.
You're out. You're free to go.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you very much. We'll be back with more Roundtable after this.